You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party.
Good afternoon, Tracy. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks, Jemina. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So, Education Minister Nikki Kaye has confirmed the government will be scrapping the school decile system. So she says the system stigmatises schools and that a new risk index set to be implemented will target school funding more effectively. So what's your take on this, Tracy? Do you think the decile system should be scrapped?
Yes, the decile system should be scrapped, but what they're suggesting is a disaster.
Why is that?
Because if you look at the 15 draft markers that were put out just within minutes of the minister making the announcement the other day, an email was sent to schools with the 15 draft markers. Not a single one of those markers has anything to do specifically with the child, their education, or what they need to be the best they can be through our educational system. And each one of those markers, based on people around them, have created a predeterminate of what their future might be.
So, I guess Nikki Kaye is saying, though, that these markers, they were developed based on research, then all known to be correlated with whether or not children achieve, and they're also looking to update the index over time. Furthermore, these are just draft sort of indicators. So it's all based on sort of research that they've done. They haven't just plucked them out of thin air. So, I mean, there is kind of this reasoning behind it, is there not?
Well, that's the reasoning they're selling to you. The research that's been done is from Treasury. So the research that's been done is not about whether these students will academically do well or not inside our school system. It's not about whether we expand the school entry data to make sure that whether a child is dyslexic or dyspraxic or needs any other sort of support. The research that's been done is how much of a risk are they, financial risk are they, to us as a country in their future. That's what the research is, and the research has been done by Treasury. This is an education system we're talking about. To start a five-year-old from a deficit perspective as a risk, financial risk to the country, is the wrong way to start your education system.
Well, it's not, yes, yeah, so the analytical work has been done by Treasury to develop, the Ministry of Education has used that work, that Treasury work, to develop these factors, but they've also engaged a lot with the wider sector through the cross-sector forum, as well as consulting with the technical reference group, which is largely made up of principals. So it's not just been sort of a economic decision that they've made based on Treasury numbers. And furthermore, the at risk is what they mean is at risk of not achieving NCA level two, not an at risk to society in any sort of economic sense.
Well, first of all, you're quoting back to me the minister's press release, which is great, but it's a minister's press release. That's the first thing. Secondly, NZEOC...
So are you saying that they haven't consulted with these people?
No, I'm saying... I know what consultation looks like with this government. That's where this government comes into the room, tells you what they're going to do, tells you, look, this is what we're going to do anyway. If you've got any pieces that you might like to add, then, okay, verbalise them now, but we've made our mind up about our direction. So this government made its mind up about the social investment policy long before it walked into a room with any advisory group. And the advisory group will tell you that. The educators of this country are working inside the tight criteria they are being given by this government. So that's the first thing. Secondly, PPTA have come out and said, yes, the minister, we want to do away with the decile system. Yes, we want a system that is more focused on the needs of the child. Those markers are not on the needs of the child. And we need more money. They've asked from a 3% current amount to an increase to a 10% amount. There's no more money being announced by this minister with this investment process. NZEI has come out with concerns as well. So what? It's one thing to say that you've consulted. Hikia Parata did it all the time. It's one thing to say you've consulted when you've gone and actually told people what you intend to do when they're in a room, and another thing to say what is the best way that we can shift from what we've currently got to something else.
Hmm. When Kay has been challenged on this front, she has also mentioned, though, the increases that the government has made to education over the years they've been in power, as well as how this small change is actually part of a wider strategy around addressing children who are at risk of not achieving. So with increases to support for behavioural services, increases of housing being insulated, the new Oranga Tamariki. So this is sort of a smaller part of a wider sort of strategy that the government is taking. It's not just this sort of one step that they are taking.
Oh, I'm sure that's what the minister's saying. Let's get clear. In 2009, this government cut a lot of these supports inside our education system. I'm talking about an education system here. So what this government did in 2009 was they placed cuts inside our education system. They removed resource teachers of learning and behaviour from our schools and clustered them. They removed truancy officers from our schools and gave them larger areas so that they could cut down on the number of truancy officers supporting families with children not attending school. And now what they've had to do is, in the last couple of years, they've had to reinvest in the very things that they cut. So I'm sorry, forgive me if I don't actually clap for a minister of this government who now tries to articulate that they're reinvesting. And let's be clear, the difference between 2009 and the education dollars then and the education dollars now is about $1.5 billion. That's the cost of the leaky buildings that have been inside our schools. Mm. So that's property money.
Mm. So we'll address the fact that still, the NZDI, the PPTA are still calling for an increase in funding. But in terms of how this system differs from the decile system, could you say that this is an improvement?
No. I'll tell you what an improvement would have been. So rather than just continue to complain about this government. So with regard, every school does what is called a school entry assessment. So a school entry assessment is where a child is, when they enrol in the school, they go through a process of assessments about whether they know the front of a book from the back of a book. Now, what that tells you is this child's never been read to if it doesn't know the front of a book from a back of a book. So you can already say this is a child living in a literacy-deprived environment, okay? Now, a variety of those things take place. Let's widen that variety of those things, and let's actually then fund the school on the number of students, for example, because this is not centrally collated at the moment, this information. Let's fund our schools on the number of students that we know require literacy support because they live in a literacy-starved environment. Let's fund our schools on the number of students we know actually have dyslexia or dyspraxia or Erlens. That is the type of program that would make sure that it was a child-centred, child-focused needs funding model, not trying to predict what the future of a child is without even doing an assessment on a child, but deciding that because their mother earns below a certain amount of money, that they are now at risk.
Mm. But surely these sorts of factors that they have outlined, so such as proportion of time spent supported by benefits since birth, whether they have a child, youth and family notification, their ethnicity, country of birth, surely all of these sort of factors do play a part in the children's place in the world, that those things have had an impact on their success in education. Not, definitively, but in terms of... on average, these factors have been shown to have some sort of impact in terms of how generally children have achieved.
Well, I mean, if you want to take something completely 100% abstract and create an average and pick up a whole lot of bits and pieces and chuck them in together and then just decide this is a line, then I suppose that might be true. The pilot that this government ran with Hekia Parata on this on exactly this program, this risk assessment, but it was based on 5 markers only a year ago, John Key would have had 2 of them. All right, his mother had a level of education that was probably around about school certificate, so that's NTA level 1, and she was a long-term beneficiary because she was on a widow's benefit. Now, that's the problem with deciding that you can predict somebody's future because of markers without actually talking to their child. The second thing is, even with all these markers, this government's saying it's only going to fund the top 25%. So of the 100% that they say that they're going to identify by these markers, 75% of them are not going to get any funding.
You, of children who meet these...
meet those criteria. They've said that they'll be funding the top 25%. So the model has failed. Well, that's my opinion. I mean, you know, obviously I'm not in charge. She is.
So you would propose scrapping all of these, this draft index that the government has put forward, replace it with other factors that you see as being more effective in the way that they assess a child's learning ability or assessment outcomes?
New Zealand First has had for the last 6 years in policy, doing away with the decile system and putting in place the school entry data collation system that I just described to you for the last 6 years.
So just quickly, thank you for that topic, but quickly we'll just move on to, before we run out of time, touch on Labour Party leadership change. So do you think it was a good move that Andrew Little stepped down earlier in the week?
I'm not going to comment on whether it was a good move or not. It's their move. But just going to say, you know, Andrew, it's a hard life, and all of us learn a lesson every time something like that happens. This is a moment in time. You can be here today, gone tomorrow. And so I wish him, you know, I wish him well. With regard to Jacinda, as a feminist, I'm stoked that there is a woman as a leader of one of our major political parties. And I wish her really, really well in the job. And I agree totally with your previous speaker. Stop asking her about children. Concentrate on her, on the job she's going to do.
Absolutely. I was actually going to finish with that question about your thoughts as the, you know, the woman's spokesperson for New Zealand First. What was your take on some of that media coverage around whether or not she's having babies?
Well, I mean, this is the first question I was asked, for goodness sake, the day I got elected. And I mean, you know, they said, how are you going to manage your housework, your family and your job? And this is only 6 years ago. And I said to them, well, Mark Mitchell's got more children than I have and a bigger house. So how's he going to manage it? You know, they just don't get it. For goodness sake, do they not realise when these words fall out their mouth how ancient they sound?
Totally.
It's just ridiculous. So it's pathetic, and the public needs to be a public backlash against those people. Stop watching them.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for talking us again today, Tracy. We'll catch you again next week.
Thanks, Jimena. Bye.
That was Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.